This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
I guess this is a Valentine's Day special, but you're not my Valentine. Hi, everyone. It's Dave Denton, and my not Valentine is Mr. What? Zane Peterson.
Be mine, Dave.
Well, you know, as Ugly Kid Joe sang, I hate everything about you.
I love Ugly Kid Joe.
Oh, me too.
You know what I always wanted to do? Okay. I always think of Alice Cooper, you know, Feed My Frankenstein.
Uh-huh.
Feed my Valentine. Maybe somebody should parody that.
Well, I think you've got to do it now. So, yeah. Well, this is edition of Turnbuckle Trash. And like we said, we are doing this because we're both romantic geniuses. Our wives are doing something else at this time, and we are talking professional wrestling. So here we go. Now, today we did receive word that one of the pioneers of wrestling, one of the real geniuses of wrestling, Jerry Jarrett, passed away today at the age of 80. Now, for those of you who are not really aware of Jerry Jarrett, he started promoting and helping out at the age of 14 in the NWA, where his mom actually worked in the Nashville office. Then he went on to become a performer in the Mid-South, a lot of tag team titles. Then he went on to become just a promoter, and he bought the promotion along with Jerry the King Lawler, and Memphis Wrestling took over. You know, we talk a lot about Memphis Wrestling on this program because Chris and I are both grew up on that. But he also did that. And then something I read about today that I wasn't aware of, that during the Attitude Era, Jerry Jarrett worked for the WWE behind the scenes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I did not know that either. He also helped found TNA Wrestling in Nashville and sold it out to Dixie Carter later on. But he and Jeff both had their fingers in TNA when it first started off. So
yeah, I remember that.
I do too. That was a good promotion.
Yeah, and it still is going on today under the banner of Impact.
Impact, and they do most of their programming now still out of Nashville, although Anthem Sports is out of Canada. So, and when you go, you got to check and see. When you go to Nashville, you still going to Nashville?
We're going to Nashville in March, and I've tried to find. I found the place where they record.
Uh huh.
But I can't find any details on, like, tickets or anything. I've searched the whole interweb, and I guess we'll just stick to country music while we're there.
Well, that ain't that bad now. That ain't that bad. But yeah. Jerry Jarrett did pass away, and honestly, guys, without Jerry Jarrett, you probably would not have had ECW because Memphis started off with doing the extreme type wrestling. They're kind of the hotbed of the start of the extreme wrestling. And then he and Jerry the King Lawler, they just promoted that area so well when they had it. And he died today at the age of 80. And then one other big name in the wrestling business, also with ties to Memphis, Tennessee, Lanny Poffo. That's Randy Savage's brother. He portrayed the genius in the WWE. He passed away last week. What do you remember about the genius scene?
Well, that was a little bit before. All I know is that when wasn't it Macho Man's family owned a wrestling promotion, didn't they?
Yeah, they actually owned one in the Memphis area that went up against Jerry Jarrett and also Jerry Lawler's promotion. And there was some bad blood for a while between the two. And then they decided to get together. And that's what I was going to tie in together with Lanny passing away and Jerry passing away. When I first saw the Macho Man perform, he was in a tag team with Lanny Poffo, his brother.
Yeah, okay.
And they called themselves Poffo Mania because their dad, Angelo Poffo, was a big star in the Mid-South and South region in the 50s and early 60s. And, you know, he would go up against Jackie Fargo and Luthez and some of the big names of that era because he was a big star himself. And then they did this promotion together. And then the brothers called their tag team Poffo Mania. And I just remember Lanny Poffo as Leaping Lanny Poffo. He could really sky.
Yeah.
He had a great voice. And then, of course, Randy Savage went on to superstardom. And Lanny did pretty well as the genius, but he never was that top-notch star like Randy Savage was. But a real name in the business, and he's going to be missed. He recently was doing some work with ROH about the time that the pandemic hit. He was doing some commentating with ROH. So both of those have passed away.
Yeah, you know, and he was 68 years old.
Yeah.
So it, I mean, still got some pretty good years left. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, and I know that's it's a controversial subject of, you know, professional wrestlers from that era, you know, like, you know, the Ultimate Warrior and some of those that passed away very early, you know, they still had some good years left on them. And,
right.
And it's sad to see them pass away. And I know a lot of people say it's because of the things they did when they were, you know, wrestling. It could cause premature death, but I don't know. I know that there's a lot of controversy around that.
Yeah.
Well, there used to be. I don't know if there is as much anymore, but I know there for a while, people were really talking smack about like steroids and drug use and, you know, causing people to kick the bucket prematurely.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I'm, you know, I'm not trying to say anything bad about anybody because they did do that stuff, and that's hard on the body when you put that kind of chemicals into your body, and then you put your body through the rigors of someone like a professional wrestler. But people die at all ages, you know?
Yeah.
And that's all, when people bring that up, I always hesitate. I said, you know, I can't say it didn't contribute to an early death, but you also have plenty of wrestlers that, I mean, look, Sergeant Slaughter's still going. You have the Iron Sheik is still alive, and Abdullah the Butcher is still alive, and, you know, of that same era. So I say, you know, I can't say it didn't make some wrestlers die prematurely, but there's plenty of drug use. Plenty of alcohol abuse, plenty of bad habits people have, and people pass away at all ages. That's just my opinion.
Well, and the bottom line is it's sad that any time,
exactly,
you know, anybody goes, it's not a fun time whether they've lived a full life or whether they're young. It's never really easy on anybody. So.
Yeah, and, you know, and I always tell people to go ahead and mourn. You know, if you have an elderly person that passed away in your family, there's no problem with mourning. You know, you might be glad that they're not suffering anymore or whatever, but you're still going to miss them, and that's what we're going to do with these wrestlers who do pass away.
Yeah, you know, and our heart goes out to the families of those affected by you know, Jerry Jarrett's passing and Lanny Poffo's passing, you know.
And then you had Jay Briscoe pass away in that traffic accident earlier this year. And, you know, life goes on.
You know, it's just, you know, and it seems to me right now that a lot of things are going on that we're hearing of a lot of these things. You know, like I know Jerry Lawler just had a very bad stroke.
Yeah, really bad stroke. They called it a major stroke. It was last Monday, I think a week ago yesterday, when we're recording this on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And evidently he lost the ability to speak for a short time, but recovery is expected, and he's going to have to go through some therapy to get his speech back. And he's in his 70s. People have strokes, and Jerry's taken good care of himself over the years. He doesn't drink. He never has drank. Never did drugs.
Oh,
but he put his body through it a lot of times. So
I hate to say it. I'm sorry. I love to say that. The king on commentary doesn't get much better than that.
That's true.
Say the king always been fantastic on commentary. I've always loved him. The heel type commentator, on the side of the bad guy. And I love when he would always change his mind in the Rumble. He'd be like, I changed my mind. They're my new favorite.
And Jim Ross made a comment on AEW Rampage on Friday night, wishing his friend the best, and said he had actually talked to him on the phone. And I thought that was a nice little tribute. Jim and Jerry, very, very, very good friends. But before we move on with other things in professional wrestling, I thought we'd take a pause for the family and friends of Jerry Jarrett, the promoter and wrestler, and Lanny Poffo, who both have passed away within the last 2 weeks, and will present the 10 bells.
Little somber start, but let's go on to some more positive things here.
Positivity will run amok.
One thing, I might be jumping the gun here, Dave, but it's on my mind, so I got to get it off. You know me, I got to get it off before anything. What do you think about Bron Breakker? When is he going to make his main roster debut? I mean, that guy is good, man. I love to watch him in NXT.
Oh, me too. I got a feeling that the Monday night after Mania.
Yeah.
That's just a feeling.
Wouldn't
Mania.
Wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Say what?
Wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Not at all. He is that good. He's got the mic skills, ring skills, the body. People love what he does. Here's a thought. WrestleMania, they're probably going to have something between Lesnar and Lashley. Something will have to happen at WrestleMania for that.
So, but what's going on with Elimination Chamber? I thought that they were going to do... I thought they were going toe-to-toe.
They are.
Elimination Chamber.
But, that's a setup for WrestleMania.
So,
Elimination Chamber is the last premium live event before Mania. So they'll do something. I mean, something will happen, and then they'll have to have a final match at WrestleMania. That's just my feeling. And who knows whether Bron Breakker would show up at Mania and maybe say the winner of that match takes on Bron Breakker. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah.
You like where I'm going?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
I would be good. I mean, I wouldn't even mind seeing Bron Breakker in the mainstream. I just had to get that off my mind. That was kind of on my mind. I wanted to get your quick opinion on that. But I guess another thing that I texted you a couple times about was, I said, do you think that it will be that Sammy will beat Roman at Elimination Chamber, and you don't think he will?
I would love to see it, because I think Sammy could handle it for a short time. Handle being the mm-hmm. champion. I think the way the crowd reacts to him, you know, I don't know if he, you know, for a year or 2 years or who knows, but a really good promo on Monday Night Raw between Sammy and Cody Rhodes. I sent you saw that, didn't you?
Does it really matter what I believe? I think what matters is what do you believe? Do you, Sami Zayn, believe that you can defeat Roman Reigns?
Do you want the truth? Truth is, Cody, I don't know. I don't know. Because you haven't seen what I've seen, okay? I have been in the trenches with the Bloodline. I have stood shoulder to shoulder with Roman Reigns for over 9 months. I have been in the dugout with them, making game plans. I've seen it. I've seen it. They always find a way. Cody, they always find a way. He actually is as good as he says he is. He actually is operating on a level higher than he's ever operated on before. And I have seen it. I have seen guys bigger than me. I've seen guys stronger than me walk into matches with Roman Reigns full of conviction, fully believing in their hearts that they were going to be the ones to take down Roman Reigns. And every single one of them went down. Every single one. So now I'm supposed to believe that after all this time, after almost 900 days, that Sami Zayn is going to be the one to take down Roman Reigns? Look, if you're asking me if I believe I am capable of beating Roman Reigns, yes! Yes, I believe that! If you are asking me if I think if I'm capable of becoming the undisputed Universal Champion, yes, I believe that! If you're asking me if I think I am worthy of being WrestleMania main event material, yes, I believe that. I have to believe that. I have to believe that with every fiber of my being, because if I don't believe that, no one else will, Cody, okay? But if you're asking me if I actually think that I'm going to be the one walking out of Montreal as the new undisputed Universal Champion, I don't know. Okay, Cody, I don't know.
So, you don't know? That's what you're saying to me? You don't know? I haven't watched Roman Reigns up close, but I have watched him from the sidelines. I've watched him from when he became champion to now, and you're right. Everybody has fallen. But here's the other thing. There's dissension in the Bloodline for the first time ever in his Bloodline, and that's because of you. There's cracks in the armor, holes in the scales, and that's because of you. The idea that the greatest champion of our generation could possibly be dethroned, becoming a reality, is because of you. This awesome moment in time that we're all here for is because of you. But just one more thing, Sammy. I don't want to see you on Raw next Monday. Because I'd rather see you at WrestleMania.
Dude, how good is Cody Rhodes on the mic?
I
forgot how good he was on the mic, man. You know, I hadn't watched a lot of AEW like you had, and so I've been missing his promos. I mean, man, that guy is good.
Yeah, he really is. Man. And then you add the mic skills of Sami Zayn, and they tore it up on Monday Night Raw. It was good stuff.
How cool How cool was it to hear the Olé chant? I haven't heard that in years.
Yeah.
It's been years. I mean, that was like NXT the last time we heard that.
Yeah, and every time they would go to Canada, if Sammy was there, you would hear that. And sometimes when Kevin was there in Canada, you would hear that. But you never heard it in the States.
Olé, olé, olé.
Yeah, until they were.
They used to do it in NXT a lot.
Yeah.
When Sammy would come out. You know, remember when he was NXT champion and he got hurt and they had to take the belt away from him?
Yeah. He was good. Yeah. I mean, I love Sami Zayn. You know how I feel about him as El Generico, absolutely, or when he was Sami Zayn, whatever. He's a top-notch performer, and I would love to see him get the belt at Elimination Chamber, but I don't know. It could set up a three-way with Sammy, Cody Rhodes, and Roman. That would be interesting.
That would be cool. Threat. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. That would be fun. You know, I don't know. What do you think about Cody Rhodes? I mean, was he, you know, has this been set up too easy for him, you know, coming in as number 30 and, you know, he's hot, super hot right now and coming back from AEW. I mean, is it his time? Has he paid his dues? Do you think it was, you know, is there other people that should have had title shots in front of him, or what do you think?
Well, I think if he hadn't torn that muscle that he did right before WrestleMania last year, I think he would be champion by now. And I think it just was delaying the inevitable that, I mean, the story. You know, here's the son of the plumber that is coming back to the WWE. Crowd loves him. I mean, I was shocked, and I still am shocked at the reception he receives from the WWE universe. And not that I don't like Cody. I really do. But I was just shocked at... I didn't think the reception would be as good as it's been. But the storyline, the son of a plumber, completing the story to get the title, it works. And we'll see how they write it up. There's got to be, you know, some twists and turns in there. But just don't be surprised if he gets it at WrestleMania or shortly thereafter.
I don't have anything wrong with him getting it. I just... You know, and you would know more than me. You're on social media, so I don't know what is going on as far as that stuff goes, if what the comments are and what people are saying. But, you know, it sure seems like when anybody else, like, you know, Logan Paul or somebody comes up and he gets a title shot, and everyone's like, well, what the hell? You know, somebody else before him should have had a title shot. He just barely came, you know, off the... You know, he just walked in off the street and he gets a title shot. I just wonder if there was any of that chatter going on with Cody, or is everybody
when they did their Saudi Arabia event? Yeah, that did happen quite a bit. People complained about that, but you know, Logan Paul has proven that he's not too bad.
And storytelling is storytelling. I mean, and we're not the ones that are making the decisions. So,
right.
I mean. Whatever happens. I just, you know, there's a lot of people that you and I would like to see, you know, get a little bit more, attention, a little bit, you know, more titles and in the bigger scenes and bigger screens, you know?
Yeah. But when you go back, to the Royal Rumble, okay, let's take you back to the Royal Rumble here on Turnbuckle Trash. When Logan Paul and Ricochet did that mid-air collision after both of them jumping, springboarding off the top rope, that was one of the top moments I have seen in years. That was incredible.
The sheer athleticism between, you know, those two. I mean, what? Man, could you imagine standing on... I mean, you've seen those top ropes, and what are they in an inch and a half round, maybe?
Oh, maybe. And that,
get on that thing and jump clear across the ring. I mean, God, I wouldn't be able to do it. I would probably trip and stumble getting into the ring.
Yeah, Me, I couldn't get up the stairs. Yeah, get a forklift to get me into the ropes. Did you watch Vengeance Day NXT?
No, I didn't. I didn't watch it.
There was a spot in there.
I've been trying to keep up on NXT on, you know, just their weekly shows. I've been trying to keep up on those a little bit better because, you know, they're a little bit easier for me to watch, and you know, they're short and they're readily available on the network, so you can just jump right on there. Well, I'm sorry, on Peacock.
There's some news about Peacock I want to get into in just a little bit.
Yeah.
With Dominik Dijak and Wes Lee.
Okay.
Dijak.
Oh my gosh, was that picture you sent me?
Oh, the broken finger?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was at the end of the match. Wasn't that gross? But earlier in the match, we'll go back to the broken finger. Earlier in the match, Dijak, who is about 6'7", 6'8", he's on the side of the ring, outside of the ropes, jumps up and does a springboard off the top rope. At 6'7", I've never seen anybody that size do that move. It was incredible. And then he broke his finger.
Ouch.
Did it make you sick to your stomach?
I'm sure it had to be fake, right? I mean, wrestling's fake, remember?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, super, super fake, wasn't it?
Wow.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
DaysVoiceWorks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X. Find podcasts there, like my Radio Guy Reflections podcast, where I get to talk to other radio people about their careers and what's going on in the world of radio. How about some turnbuckle trash? I am joined by Chris Evans and Zane Peterson. We just talk about professional wrestling. And then there's the 3W News. 3W News is the weird, the wacky, and the wild news that might have escaped your everyday newscast, but we have it here on the 3W News, which is part of Radio Guy Reflections. Check out some of the celebrity interviews I've done over the years, and we have special musical salutes for different holidays, and coming soon, some comedy. It's all at daysvoiceworks.com. When you spell works, it's W-O-R-X.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash.
Oh, all right, but this is for informational purposes only.
There's a lot going on right now, and it's so hard to decide, like, where everything is going. I mean, I want to know, and I know you and I both don't know, but I want to know your opinion on, is Vince back in charge or not? Or like, what's going on? Do we know anything on that side of things?
Well, the only thing I've been reading, you know, once again, when you go to the internet, you're going to see some things that are true and see some things that make no sense at all. There's actually, I wish I could remember what the name of the kind of the wrestle news that's on YouTube. I will never watch these guys again. They have no clue what's going on. They just, you know, do rumors, rumors. But anyway, I would say because the WWE product has not gone backwards, that Vince is concentrating on trying to get this thing sold. Because, I mean,
you still think that's on the table?
I firmly believe it's on the table.
Really?
Yeah. And I think Saudi Arabia probably backed out.
Oh, so because we saw the stock price jump and.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like right on the verge and then something happened.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they backed out. But, you know, you've got others that are out there that have been rumored to be part of maybe buying it. There's been a lot of rumors, once again, that maybe even The Rock and his business group, the people that are behind the XFL, that they might be one of the buyers. The people, Comcast, you know, Xfinity, Comcast, NBC, Universal, they're all under one umbrella. That's been rumored for a long time. Also rumors out there that Tony Khan's group of AEW might be suitors for the WWE. I doubt that one, but
yeah.
But who knows? You know,
I don't know.
We're talking billions of dollars, billions of contracts.
I know.
And there's got to be a lot of legal wrangling when you're talking about that. AEW just signed an agreement to have their programming being broadcast in Australia and a couple of other island countries. And I think...
I wish they'd hurry up and get a deal with a streaming service.
Yeah, me too. I really do.
Grief, at least, even if it was a week behind or something.
Yeah. They need to. They do have the ROH streaming service that's going up, but... I don't like that. I don't like that business model that they're doing, where you get the weekly program, and then you get an opportunity to buy at a discount their pay-per-views. Don't like that at all.
That's stupid.
Yeah, but speaking of streaming services, and this is where I wanted to come back with Peacock.
Okay, tell me.
We received word the other day from Xfinity Comcast that Peacock will no longer be a free service when you have that top tier of cable programming, but you can purchase it. It'll be like $9.99 a month, which I will probably continue to do because that's still a good deal to get the pay-per-views and everything from the WWE plus some other programming from Peacock. Although, man, they are so slow. That business is slow.
Peacock really isn't that great of a streaming service. It really sucks. I mean, there's like we did watch, what was it? We watched something on there the other day that I was surprised was on there. Me and Jackson watched something the other day that was, I was really surprised. I was like, huh, that's on Peacock?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, old TV
shows.
Oh, I know
what it was. It was the Keanu Reeves 47 Ronin movie.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. So, is it any good?
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
I like Keanu though.
Yeah. But, you know, HBO Max, they're changing up everything they're doing too, especially with the DC universe.
Well,
and
they got bought by Discovery, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yes, they did.
And so they said that the Discovery Network and HBO Max and everything is probably going to be under one umbrella now.
Well, the rest I've been hearing that they're still going to have a different streaming service for Discovery and keep HBO Max the way it is.
Well, you know, it sucks because HBO's got a lot of good stuff on there. But it's expensive, man. It's $16 a month.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we love Discovery too. And Discovery's Dave, I pay more through all these streaming services than I did with satellite or cable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Hulu ad free is like $13 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And HBO Max is $15.99 a month. And Peacock, the ad free is $10 a month, and my good crap, I'm up to $40-$50 a month.
And then you have Netflix too, don't you?
I'm one of those dirty rotten suckers that steal my brother's Netflix password, so I'm sure I'll get cut off pretty quick.
Yeah, you probably will. Yeah, but at least you have your stock in the WWE to fall back on.
Well, yeah, you know, the stock is down, though. I'm a little disappointed. See, I should have waited to buy. I bought when the stock was high, thinking, you know, I'll buy a few shares at you know, it was like in the high 80s. And I was like, and maybe it'll hurry and maybe it'll go up even more. If it goes up to over $100 a share, then I'll at least make $20 a share off what I just bought.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went down.
See, it's life is a gamble. You might as well go to Vegas.
Well, yes, I'll just play the stock market, I guess.
Yeah.
Legalized gambling.
That's all it is. I mean, insurance. I mean, insurance is legalized gambling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. So, absolutely. I mean, it comes in handy, especially when you've had the health issues I've had recently. So, you know, that pays a lot. So, when last year, about this time, I went to the hospital, I wouldn't be able to pay that bill off. Never.
Currently, WWE is at $87.29 a share.
Uh-huh.
Went down 24 cents today.
Oh, and didn't it go up to like 91, 92 or something?
It was close. It was close to $100 a share. I was like, man, if it. But hey, Dave, on a positive note, though, I can't complain about this.
Okay.
Since me purchasing WWE, my total return has been positive 75%.
Can't beat that.
Money can be exchanged for goods and services.
Woohoo!
So, you know, if I would have had, $100,000 to buy WWE stock 2 years ago, because I bought it during COVID when, you know, it was not doing very well and people weren't tuning in and it was the, you know, the stupid Thunderdome or whatever, and it wasn't very good television, and so their stock was way down, and so I bought a couple of shares. I wish I would have had enough money to buy $100,000 worth of shares. I could retire right now.
I'm retired at poor me, so.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're retired, and you still have to work. That's terrible, Dave.
I'm actually doing some news for a radio station outside of Boston this week. A coworker is ill and picked up some work for a town I used to live in, Paris, Tennessee, coming up in March, and getting ready to do Kokomo, Indiana, and so it's an interesting company I work for. So
let's go back. I kind of got us off topic. Sorry
okay,
about
yeah,
that.
Okay. You do that all the time, though.
I know. I just. it's called attention deficit disorder, Dave. Don't get it. I mean, my poor wife and my ADD brain. I'm just like, I tell her. I said, she's like, I wish I knew what it was like in your brain. I said, imagine a pinball machine. You know, you're playing pinball. The ball's going around and around and around. He's a pinball wizard. And you know when it gets in one of those things and the lights go off and the ding and you get a bunch of points. Yeah, that's ADD brain right there. It's like as a brain bounces around, and then bam, it's on something. And when it's on something, it's on full bore, 110%, rocking and rolling. But trying to get it on something is it's terrible.
Brother, I know.
But so I kind of want to go back a little bit.
Okay.
I kind of got us off on a little tangent, but we're reining it in here and go back. I got to get these things off my mind while they're on my mind, Dave, or I'll forget and we won't even be able to have a conversation. You'll just be talking and I'll just be listening and like, But so I wanted to talk a little bit about. I had absolutely no qualms with it. I think it's fantastic that Rhea Ripley win in the Rumble. So is she going to kind of distance herself, or like how do you think it's going to play out with that? Because I mean, I like her a lot, and I think that she should have beaten Charlotte when she took her on. Was that last year?
I want to say it was during the pandemic, so it was one of the pandemic years.
Yeah, and I mean, they had a hell of a match, I remember,
right?
And I remember Charlotte won, but. I thought that was cool, but I'm wondering if they're gonna, what's his bucket? Vince Russo said that they'll probably, start turning Rhea Ripley back face, and they'll get her out of the goth stuff so that she can take on Charlotte.
Nah.
Charlotte's kind of a heel.
Sorry, Vince. Nah, won't happen.
No.
I don't think so. I don't think so, but
I think it was Vince. Don't quote me on that. I thought it was.
I thought a lot about Vince Russo during the Super Bowl this past week, watching the debacle that was Rihanna's concert and how I just couldn't stand it. And I started thinking, boy, we need more halftimes like when they did Halftime Heat with The Rock and with Mankind. Remember that during halftime of Super Bowl years ago? That was Vince Russo behind that. And I don't know if you remember this part or not, but when we met Vince at a DCW event,
he
and I actually talked about that. He asked me, he said, do you know where that idea came from? And I said, it was Jerry Lawler against Terry Funk. They did that in Memphis. That's where that idea came from to do the empty stadium match.
Yeah.
That was fun. But, yeah, the Rihanna thing. Oh, man. It was brutally bad.
I don't know, Dave. I'll just throw my opinion out, even though it doesn't matter what I think. But I don't watch a lot of professional sports.
Yeah, that's true.
I just find it funny and interesting how people are complaining about Rihanna's halftime show. And it's like, if you don't like it, then don't watch it. Just turn the NFL off, turn the halftime show off, go do something else. You know, it's just stupid.
I complained about it.
Well, you have that right, too. I'm just saying.
Well, actually, I had my phone out playing on one of my casino games while I was going on. So.
Did you?
Yeah.
So you were gambling, too. But so anyway, so let's go back. You didn't really answer my question. I mean, what?
Okay.
I thought that was an interesting an interesting win by her. Like I said, I like the heck out of her. I don't know if I like this goth type look, but I don't know. I still like her.
I see about a 6-month feud between her and Charlotte Flair. At least 6 months, because they still have this thing with the Judgment Day going on, which is very popular right now and very well done. And they're going to have a match with Rhea Ripley and Finn Balor against Edge and Beth Phoenix at the Elimination Chamber. I can't see them pulling Rhea and getting her out of this goth look just to go against Charlotte Flair. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, with this goth look and the way she getting the pop from the crowd, she's popular with the younger people, you know, because she looks different. And, you know, you got to have the demographics. And, you know, face it, as much as I complained about Rihanna and the halftime show, that halftime show was not geared towards a 65-year-old man. It was geared towards the younger audience, and maybe they liked it. I didn't. Same way with somebody like Rhea Ripley. Even though I enjoy her work, think she's awesome, that look also attracts a younger viewer, and that younger viewer is very much in demand by advertisers, and we want to make money by advertising. I see no problem with what she's doing. Eventually, will she get out of it? They all do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I guess, you know, that's the wonderful, beautiful, great, fantastic thing about professional wrestling is, you know, they can always, somebody disappears for a couple months, hits the performance center, hits the weights, gets jacked up on some protein and comes back as somebody else, you know?
Yeah. And speaking of that, you know, we discussed this on our last podcast about redoing a character or rebranding somebody. Did you see Monday Night Raw when they had the Academy with Otis and I just come up with a blank. Anyway, the Academy. And Otis was eating a hot dog and he took it out of his hand and the mustard went flying and went on that Maximum Male Model people that I can't stand. But there was a funny bit with that. The Maxine Dupuis handed a business card to Otis and said they were looking for somebody to become a model like Otis, but she called him Otis. And Otis had this look on his face. Yes, Otis. Otis. And that made me laugh. I hate the male model gimmick, but if they can tie Otis into doing it, making it more of a comedy bit, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, all for it.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that sure still, man, I don't know. It seems like every day across my Google News feed, there comes something about how terrible what's her bucket is as our sassy Southern Belle.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with her.
Yeah.
I
don't know why everybody's doing that. Lacey Evans. Yeah. Why is everybody on that Lacey Evans hate train, man? Like, give her a chance. She's freaking. I think that she should have beat Charlotte too when she took on Charlotte. I'm not a Charlotte fan though. I don't like her. I think that they use her last name, and don't get me wrong, she's very athletic and very good, and she carries herself really well, but I'm just not a Charlotte fan. I think that the WWE just, they've always tried to shove her, kind of the Roman Reigns thing. They always are just trying to shove Charlotte straight to the top, straight to the top, straight to the top. I mean, you know, it's Charlotte's always got this freaking belt, dude.
Right.
It doesn't matter who the heck she fights, she always wins. And it just I think it gets old.
Right. I do too. But back to Lacey Evans, I thought of this while you were talking. I think it's the Roman Reigns syndrome. And you're saying, what? Remember when everyone hated Roman Reigns? I mean,
yeah.
Roman Reigns could do nothing right to a lot of fans.
Yeah.
Because they felt like he was being forced on them. And I'm wondering if that's the same situation with Lacey.
I mean, but I don't think that she's being forced on anybody. She's just, she had one squash match. Whoop-dee-doo.
Yeah.
Like, what's the, I don't know. I don't know.
She's going to be the Baron Corbin of the women's division.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'll be there. And there's nothing wrong with getting that heel heat like a Baron Corbin has, but people don't particularly like him, except he does his job well enough that they don't like him. They like to see him get beat like he did against Cody Rhodes. And I just kind of think Lacey Evans, the way the crowd's reacting to her, that might be her niche right now, is kind of being the Baron Corbin of the women's division. And I don't know if that makes any sense or not. So,
Yeah, it makes sense. I sure as heck hope that they, you know, that Baron Corbin goes back as his. I hope that they, you know, he falls back down and gets up, bees a bum again. That was the greatest story for the longest time when he was a bum and like nobody recognized him in the WWE and had his mustard stained shirt. That was a great bit, man.
It was a good
fantastic.
Bit. So.
You know, then he wins the lottery. And I thought they could have drugged him out a little bit more on that.
Well, they set it up when he was in Las Vegas that he won millions of dollars at the craps table. So,
that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. I don't know. You know, I got to hand it to him right now. They're really, you know, when we talk about being a good time to be a wrestling fan, I mean, it really, honestly, truly is. I mean, think of the stories that are going on right now in professional wrestling. I mean, we, as our pinball machine show has gone, I mean, we've covered like some awesome stuff that's going on in NXT. We've covered some awesome stuff that's gone on in other promotions. But the WWE, I got to say, man, is on fire right now.
They are. I mean, I agree.
With the Bloodline, mm-hmm. the Bloodline story, Gunther and Austin Theory. And I mean, like every faction and everything has something going for him. Mm-hmm. You know, like even, Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley and Finn Balor and with Edge. I mean, like everything really right now has some such good, like you said, even Baron Corbin and JBL. I mean, like everything right now is on fire.
Right.
Like there's that. If trips, can I say, is that, am I cool? Am I hip if I say trips?
You are as cool as a cucumber, my man.
If Triple H is really, I mean, I know they have a creative board and they bounce stories around, but whoever has the sign off right now, I got to hand it to them because, you know, there's so much going on right now that it is a very great time to be a professional wrestling fan. I mean, Cody Rhodes on his way back up to the top, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus teaming up.
Oh, that's good stuff, man.
There's just tons of stuff right now that is super, super good. You know, of course I'd like to see more people I was really glad when Emma came back, but they kind of haven't done much with her.
No,
and, you know, there's always hope for, I don't know, there's, you know, in the club, you know, they came, the OC, they came back and they're kind of have been tossed to the wayside for a little while. But
yeah, AJ was injured, and so they kind of ruined their storyline. So,
yeah, I'm sure that their time will come. And,
yeah,
but I mean, like, just think about everything right now that's going on. Like, you know, LA Knight and Bray Wyatt.
Oh,
like, how good of a show was that? And like, how good of a buildup was that?
Loved it.
Just everything right now in the WWE is really kicking some major butt. I don't know. I'm really pumped and really think it's great right now to see all the cool stuff that's going on. And not only that, is they're kind of also keeping us on our toes a little bit, like with this Sammy, and is Cody going to be taking on Roman at WrestleMania, or is he going to be taking on Sammy? Or, you know, like good for them for actually finally doing something besides the same old boring crap that they've done for the last 10 years.
Agreed. They're going really great guns. But I'm going to take you back in time to you, okay? A little quote you did a couple of years ago talking about storylines leading up to WrestleMania were always so good. Then after Mania, they became crap again. I hope that doesn't happen.
I hope not as well. I mean, there's got to be a little bit of a reset. I mean, you know, WrestleMania is such a big event, and it's you know, literally WWE's, you know, the biggest show in wrestling. You know, so everything through the entire year is to build to Mania. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whatever happens at Mania, after Mania, you know, it's time to shift some things around, maybe get some guys up from NXT. You know, we've got some new title holders. We got, you know, so now it is going to be kind of it's got to be challenging to be a writer, because like, how do you keep everybody interested and, you know, start building that slow story again, till, you know, like the Rumble's so great because it sets up so many great stories, you know, but like, it's got to be tough a little bit to be a writer to go, okay, look, we just had the greatest show of the entire year. Now what do we do?
Yeah.
Well, crap. I don't know. Throw some darts against the wall and see what sticks.
Well, one thing that would help, and I think has helped, is you don't have Vince coming in and changing the script at the last minute.
I will agree with that 110,000,000% that, you know, it's good that that there's been some, I don't know, it's been really good right now to see a lot of these good stories and a lot of these things that are going on right now. It's been really positive to see that.
I've got a kayfabe story for you.
Tell me.
Okay. You know how the kayfabe is dead, supposedly?
Yeah.
Supposedly. Right. Okay. Well, last week on AEW, the Wednesday Night Show Dynamite, MJF, who's the champion now, is cutting a promo. And as part of that promo, he tells the story when he was a junior in high school and went to the prom, and he was very cocky and was driving his new Camaro with his girlfriend, and he got into a wreck. And since he had already had some points on his license, he switched places to make the girl look like she was driving and he wasn't. Well, okay. Police got almost 300 telephone calls talking about they need to investigate that accident that MJF was in. So is kayfabe really dead?
Well, you know, it's just, it's different. I would never say that it's dead. It's just different. In the reality era that we live in, I mean, it's just different is all. Right. I mean, you know, and that's just got to be a little bit challenging too. I mean, you know, try to keep, you know, all these guys have social media accounts and they're like, well, did you see the one what you're saying? Like, I don't know if you saw just barely, like it made a bunch of news of Rey Mysterio. There was a bunch of jackass fans that attacked him at the airport and just bombarded him and wanted his autograph and I don't agree with that stuff.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
But I guess my point is these guys, they're not Rey Mysterio's a guy. He's a dude. He's a human being. He's not just a luchador. And so when you attack a guy on his personal time when he's trying to get from here to there, and I'm sure it can get quite exhausting because, you know, he's got to keep up his character, but yet he's got to travel. And, you know, I don't know, man. It's got to be a little bit of an interesting, you know, way of doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how some of these guys you know, and I know they get paid well, and I know that they, that's what they signed up for. But you still should kind of respect their personal lives and stuff too. Like I know, is it Braun Strowman? Like on his Twitter and stuff, he'll post pictures of him out fishing and things like that. And that's not his character. His character in WWE is, you know, the big, strong guy that destroys everything in his path. I don't know. I think that would be a little tough. You know, like I know Macho Man back in the day, you know, he really took it serious. Really, really took it serious.
Well, you know,
the whole kayfabe stuff.
The thing with celebrity is that you still have people out there that don't realize that you have a life and that you have things that you want to do. And they force them, not all fans, but a lot of people would force themselves just to get an autograph or maybe a picture. That's why some wrestlers, some celebrities just say, no, I won't do that right now. Or maybe I'll just take a picture. I don't do autographs because people will go on and sell them and that kind of thing. I think we've discussed it before. My little bit of celebrity I've had over the years, I have come at times to say, yeah, I can understand where it gets old after a while. And I think you and I are probably to that point of if we saw a wrestler out in the public, we would just wave at them to let them know we know who they are. Or maybe drop by and say, hey, man, I love your work. Thanks a lot. Well, you know, good luck. That kind of thing. Yeah.
You know, like even when I, you know, Kevin Nash, his autograph signing thing, like, you know, I had every right to talk to him and stuff. I mean, we paid our money and we got our stuff signed, but I'm like, hey, dude, you know, I was like, thank you so much for, you know, being a childhood hero. I was like, you know, I really, I just really have always thought you were fantastic. He said, thanks, man.
Yeah.
You know, and we just kind of left it at that. Like, I didn't really, you know, like the guy after me, like, sat there and shot the shiz with him for, you know, a little while. And I didn't know what to say to him. I'm like, what do you say to a guy like that? Like, hey, remember that one time you freaking threw Rey Mysterio against the trailer? That was awesome.
That was.
You know, like, I don't know what do you say to him? Like, I don't know what to say to him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
It all depends on the situation, you know? When I got to meet Jerry Lawler, I went up to him and said, hi, Jerry. I went to Frazier High School from Memphis, Tennessee, class 75, and I went to see the Mid-South Coliseum for a long time. And then Lawler said to me, you went to Frazier High School and you're still living, because it was a very rough school. And then I just said, well, I wanted to come by and just say hi. I really wanted to meet you. And I bought a couple of things from him. And then as other fans came up, he told me to hang around. He wanted to talk to me. So we had a good conversation after that. And then when I went to his panel discussion, yeah, but that's where you've got to use your common sense. If Jerry would have, you know, said, blown me off, I would have just said, hey, I still got to meet him. Vicky Guerrero was the same way. When we got to meet her, every time we'd pass by the booth, she would wave at us and say, Dave and Teresa, and wave at us. And she even asked where my wife was one time, or asked where I was when I passed by her booth. That's where you got to use your common sense as a fan to let them be who they are. And if they, after you've approached them, if they want to talk more to you, then talk to them. But if they kind of blow you off, don't take it personal. You got to back off.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know. You know, that it's... So I guess back to the kayfabe thing, like it's got to be tough these days because they all still have families. They all still have things to do. I mean, you know, some people, I don't know. It's got to be a little bit tough. And I guess that's what they signed up for. So, but I don't think it's 100% dead. It's just different.
Yeah.
Is all.
Well, I know you've got a big event coming up in about a week and a half from now. February the 25th, Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
STF.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. STF, baby. And, yeah, dude, it's, I'll tell you, I did reach out to Darren, and he said after the show he would love to come back on the podcast and, and see and give us some updates. So he's got a show, going for June now already.
Right.
And, it looks like it's going to be a good show, man.
He's going to have an independent wrestler called Madman Fulton, 6'9", muscles all over him. And that's going to be a good show. We'll have to talk more about that, but it's just going to be great. It's going to be a fun, fun show.
Yeah. Good for him, man. I'm sure that's a lot of work. And I'm sure that's a lot of, you know, he said it's been pretty stressful, but pretty fun to, you know, get those connections in the biz and, you know, things like that. It's got to be a little bit tough. I wouldn't know where to start. You know, hey, Dave, let's start a wrestling promotion. Hey, Manny, you got anybody you want to send down? I mean, like, what do you do, you know?
Yeah, that's where you've got to depend on having people that you trust around you, because if I wanted to promote an event, I wouldn't know the first thing to do. I'd have no clue. You know, so getting people around you, or maybe have done it before, or you've been behind the scenes to do it, then you could do it, you know. But to be able to say that you and I could put on an event, ain't going to happen because we don't have that expertise.
Yeah, no, it ain't going to happen, my friend. But, you know, I'm glad that there's people out there that can put this stuff together for it, because we sure enjoy it. You know, I guess you said that Manny did reach out to you the other day for something or another.
Yeah, Manny reached out to me, and he said that they will be coming to my place where I live in Logan, Utah, coming up in May, possibly a couple of other nights in the summer and in the early fall. As he said, they are so busy on Saturdays that they're almost booked every Saturday with DCW with their bar fights or going to different little towns and putting on shows, that they're now starting to do Friday night gigs, and that's what they're going to be trying in Logan, to trying to do some Friday nights.
Do you think that there's enough of a wrestling crowd in Logan that would be interested in that?
It kind of depends on what's going on in the area. When you do a wrestling event in a town this size, you're not going to get 1,000 people showing up. I mean, look at Salt Lake City. What did you have, 500 for the fourth anniversary? 500 to 600 people?
You know, I don't know. There was a lot of people there, but right.
In a town like our size, like Logan or maybe Manti, if you get 200 to 300 people, you've had a successful event. So
yeah.
I think you get 200 to 300 people pretty easy in Logan, just from wrestling fans. And there's a couple of people in DCW that are living in Logan now. And then you get their friends talking to them, and then you get wrestling fans, and it's all dependent on how it's approached, the price. There's just, when you're talking promotion, that's why it's a gamble. You're putting money out. Are you going to get that return? Sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. You got to be able to say, I can afford to lose a little bit here and make more money here. You just never know. Yeah. I really don't. I'll take you back to my radio days. We used to do remote broadcast. And one weekend, there was a clothing store. And I'm thinking it was a secondhand kids store that was doing a remote on one of the radio stations I worked at. And it was pouring down rain, not just raining.
Yeah.
It was pouring down rain, and I didn't think there would be anybody at this remote. You couldn't walk in that store. It was so busy.
Really?
And it was unreal. And then one day I did a remote broadcast from a car dealership, and they were having a battle of the bands. We might have had 25 people show up. Maybe. You know, and there was free entertainment, there was food, and nobody showed. A beautiful day, too. So when you're promoting an event, you just never know how the public's going to go with it.
Do you remember when, I wish I could, you were probably working for 103.9, but there was a concert that came to the D. Glenn Smith Spectrum up there, and there was a couple really good country artists. They couldn't sell, nobody was buying tickets.
Right.
So they just started giving away tickets on the radio and stuff, just to put butts in the seats. And they were giving out tickets. Basically, you could walk up and get free tickets. And I remember, the people were kind of scattered all over the spectrum, and one of the artists was like, hey, everybody, move in closer, move down to these seats. And it pissed my mom off, because my mom had bought our tickets, and, you know, we paid money for our seats. And here all these people were that had seats above us and got free tickets and stuff. And they had coming in and filling in all these seats below us and ended up having better seats than us. But there never really was concerts in the spectrum after that. Like, it did so bad that nobody came to Logan anymore.
Well, there was some other things behind the scenes. I wasn't involved with that concert at the station I was working at the time. I know what station was that I worked for later. But with the spectrum, there about that time, they were making it so difficult for you to be able to do a show because of the cost and all the restrictions they did. That was one of the reasons they stopped coming to the Spectrum. But around that time, there was also an 80s, I want to call it a hip-hop show because it had Young MC, you know, did Bust a Move, and I think Sir Mix-a-Lot, and they sold 300 tickets for the Spectrum.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. When you're a promoter, you just, I mean, you're taking a chance. That's why a lot of people get in and out of the promotion business, because something you think is going to be hot just doesn't sell. Just doesn't sell. And I can take you back to something I know a little bit about, you know, music and involving with the Cache Valley Cruise Inn. There was a year that they had signed, ready to come, ZZ Top to the Cruise Inn. Well,
really?
ZZ Top wanted to, they were still going to come to the Cruise Inn, but Aerosmith had contacted ZZ Top saying, come on tour with us. And the people at the Cruise Inn said, okay, well, we don't want to hold you back. We'll get you out of the contract. So they were trying to decide what act to bring in. And the people that were, you know, the Cruise Inn people themselves didn't understand how to promote that kind of show. And they went out and got America as a replacement for ZZ Top. America, a fine act, love America, good music, good musicians, but it wasn't a party act. So they sold probably 1,500 tickets for that show, and they were they wanted to sell 4,000 to 5,000 tickets. But when you're doing an event like that, you got to think about what the event is, which was an outdoor show, car show, what's going to attract people to come. They want to be able to stand up, dance, and yell and scream and everything, and you just couldn't do that to America. And I loved the show. I thought it was a great show, but I told them when they told me it was going to be America, I said, well, you're going to sell 1,000 tickets, and that's what they sold, 1,000 or 1,500 tickets. And that's so when you're promoting any event, you've got – there's a lot – that's why experience means so much when you're a promoter, and you've got to know what sells, what doesn't, where it's going to work, where it doesn't work. There's just a lot of things you really need to think about. Now, could a 80s rock band come in here and sell out and sell 5,000 seats? They might. Men Without Hats couldn't. Styx could.
Yeah. You
know? Men Without Hats, Styx, we're going to do the safety dance. Who's going to want to see that?
Pretty good at that. Remember when Styx came to the fairgrounds?
Oh, yeah, I was on the third row.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was
they
fun.
There was a few people there. That was a fun show.
Oh, that was almost 5,000 people there.
Yeah.
That was one of their most successful concerts. So,
yeah.
Can I tell you a quick story about that? I know this isn't wrestling, but I introduced the act. I introduced from the stage, and then I went down to sit with my wife and my friends, and we were on the third row, and there were some people from Ogden right in front of us, and Styx was loud. Now, I mean, that was loud. And then we're on the third row, so it was really loud. And this guy thought it was too loud, so he grabbed a hold of his candy-coated almonds that he bought at the concession and stuffed one in each ear. Candy-coated, it's like 95 degrees outside. At the end of the show, he starts pulling them out, and you could see the sugar and goo and ew.
Oh, what an idiot.
No. But that did happen. Yeah. I mean, you can ask my wife. It happened.
I'll vouch for you.
She vouched for me. as long as we have a voucher.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah. But that's the problem with promoting. I mean, you can have all the planning. You can do, you know, and I want the guys at STF and Dive and DCW to be very successful and put on shows and let more fans come to these shows. But, man, you just never know what's going to work and what's not going to work until you're there.
Yeah. And you know, Darren, he's really interested in bringing some pro wrestling to some more rural parts of Utah. And I think he could do pretty good. But, you know, that's a lot of work, you know, to come 2 hours, to set up a ring, to all your talent, you know, to come this far. you know, they got to fly into Salt Lake or drive to Salt Lake and add another 2 hours to the show. And if he doesn't do well, you know, then you're right. That's a really tough. So I know why they stay in places like Salt Lake,
right?
You know, and market in places like Salt Lake, because you're guaranteed, like you said, in Salt Lake, you're guaranteed to at least, you know, you'll get the surrounding areas and you'll get a few hundred people in Salt Lake, you know, and so when you come to these smaller areas, like, you know, and Logan's getting pretty big, you know, Logan could probably, I still don't know if the dynamic in Cache Valley would really support pro wrestling and stuff like that. I don't, same with down here. I don't know enough of, whenever I say professional wrestling to people, they laugh at me. And I think they're all closet fans.
But I think, you know, I just think you probably in like Manti and that area, you probably would have a successful show if you could get 150 to 200. I really do. Yeah. And, you know, There's all kinds of stories about these guys wrestling in bingo halls or in gyms and wrestling before 25 people, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. And are you going to be able to go into Manti and sell 5,000 seats? I don't think so. But if you did as part of, let's say you had a county fair and then you wanted to set up a ring at the county fair and either do it for free or maybe just charge a little bit, just, you know, take the concessions or whatever you want to do. Yeah, you could get 500 or 600 people, but I just don't think in an area that size of Manti, 150 to 200, I think it would be very successful. Logan, maybe 300. That's just me. I mean, that's just the way I see things.
They said, do you remember, I think you were telling me about the Delta show, and I think that it was actually fairly successful. Like Andrew Sowell went over there, and there was quite a few people that went over to that Delta show. You know, and Delta's a similar show as, you know, town as Manti and stuff. And, you know, so if they could do good over in a place like, you know, Delta, then I don't see why they couldn't do good in a rural place like here.
The big things that they'd have to worry about is not overdoing the show. Don't come in every month. You know, come in every once in a while. There's something about something coming from the big city to my little town makes a lot of people in that little town want to go see them. And maybe professional wrestling, they haven't seen it enough in that area. Oh, it'd be fun to go spend $20 for a ticket or $25, just a night of fun. But to think you're going to get 500 to 1,000 people, I think is unrealistic.
Yeah. Well, Dave, you can name this show officially the Pinball Show, because we have been all over the place, but it's been a great show. And we covered a lot, you know, in a little bit of time that we had together. We've been talking about getting together and recording, and sometimes Dave's and I schedule was hard to line up, but we made it happen tonight on this Valentine's night special. Keep listening, you know, and I know, Dave, we talked a little bit about supporting the show too. And you know, Dave and I would greatly appreciate anybody out there that if this podcast brings them any value at all, you know, Adam Curry from No Agenda, he says, turn it into a dollar amount and send some value back to us. And
trying to get it set up right now. So,
yeah. And Dave's doing a great job, everybody, with this show. Dave takes a lot of time to edit it. And he, you know, I'm just a sidekick here. Dave's the man that makes the magic happen. So, you know, it's been a good show, and it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. There's a lot going on. It's really exciting. You know, we're on the road to WrestleMania officially. You know, we've got there's some really good stuff on the local promotion and the local scene that's going on. You know, we've got STF in a couple of weeks. They're already announcing shows for the summer. We got DCW. You know, there's so much good stuff going on right now in our home state, and there's so much good stuff going on in the big leagues too.
Right.
And so it is a good time to be a wrestling fan, and so I think that we should keep it up.
I think we need to go play some pinball.
You sure play the mean pinball. You could put that as our outro, Dave.
I think I shall.
What is it you used to say on your show? Bye bye. Toodaloo, y'all.
Bye bye. Toodaloo, y'all. I'd forgotten about that. Well, thank you, man.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro yes! Wrestling from a fan's yes! perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Be my Valentine.
Positivity will run amok.
But oh my gosh, was that picture you sent me?
Did it make you sick to your stomach?
I'm one of those dirty, rotten suckers that steal. It's called attention deficit disorder, Dave. Don't get it.
You are as cool as a cucumber, my man.
Now what do we do? Well, crap. I don't know. Throw some darts against the wall and see what sticks.
Hey, remember that one time you freaking threw Rey Mysterio against the trailer? That was awesome.
That was.
Since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.